Oh, good. You're going to be interactive this morning, I can tell. It's going to be so great. My name is Gina. If you do not know me, I'm the Director of Ministries here at Life, and I am filling in today for Pastor Tim. Pastors Tim and Harriet are away on a cruise, relaxing. Yes, yes, they deserve it so much. So they are just going to be so rejuvenated and tan, and I'm going to be a little jealous possibly when they come back. Just teasing. They deserve it so much. So just be praying for their safety as they're away and their safe return. They'll be back next weekend. Well, this morning, when I preach or speak, I kind of tag on to what Pastor Tim is already doing. But he was kind of at the end of a series. So he said, just choose what you want. So I did. And we're going to talk about this is how I fight my battles. That's right. All right. I like y'all. So this is sort of something that God's been really like as soon as 2019 turned, he was like, I'm going to teach you this year how to fight your battles. And I'm going to teach you the right way because I'm kind of scrappy a little bit. Like I can be like, a fighter. He's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't need you to be scrappy all the time for me. I need you to rest in my love, know that my power exists for you, and I'm going to teach you how to fight your battles. And so that's really what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to use a lot of scripture. I'm going to also have a couple stories for you, personal stories, examples of how we've had to fight and what that looks like and how good God is in it all. So today, before I get started, I'm going to just say a prayer and then we're going to dig right in. All right, y'all with me? All right, good. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for these great folks who are here. They're just willing and ready and excited to hear what you have to say this morning, God. I'm simply a vessel ready to be used by you. And so, God, we just thank you. Just prepare the atmosphere for this place to be receptive, hearts ready, and God, just standing in a posture to fight our battles, Lord, through you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I wanted to start with this story. My youngest son, I have four sons, my 11-year-old, has I don't like labels really, so I'm not going to call it a disorder either. It's called convergence insufficiency and binocular dysfunction. Now, all that really means is that he can't see in tandem with both eyes the same thing. So he's had to readjust his brain, readjust his way of thinking, readjust everything he does, really. Like jumping rope in tandem, he really just can't do that. That's not something that works for him. Anything that is emotion on both sides. So reading has been a challenge for him. It's not dyslexia, but he may see one letter that is way over here and it distorts the entire word. So it's been a lot of visual therapy, a lot of occupational therapy, a lot, but he is a trooper. He's a fighter. And the thing that I love about Asher is that he sees things differently. Everything that he looks at comes with a fight, but with a love, with a joy that he says, I see something different in them, Mom. I see something unique in them. He wants to be a pastor. So I believe that this is not that God would ever give him this kind of thing that he's had to deal with and that he's had to really fight hard not to have negative self-talk against because, I'm dumb. I'm not as smart as the other kids. He is actually quite smart. It's just this thing. So he's really had to learn how to press in and dig and see with different eyes. And so that led me to think, well, what about my eyes? Do I see what God wants me to see? Do I see the things that he has for me? Now I can see what's right in front of me. I see that Stacy's sitting right there. Do I see the God around Stacy? Can I see that? And so I started thinking, God, how do I fight my battles? He said, well, go to my word. I mean, that's where I'm going to tell you how to fight your battles. And in that, he showed me two primary places, how to open my eyes, how to see with God eyes, and that's through prayer and worship. And so we're going to take a couple stories from the Bible where we see God literally changing the course of a battle through those two things, through prayer and through worship. And so the first one I'm going to take you to is 2 Kings 6. This is immediately when God said at the beginning of this year that he wanted to teach me how to fight my battles. He wanted to teach us how to fight our battles as a church through prayer and worship, being diligent in those places. He immediately took me to 2 Kings 6, a story that I was not familiar with, but literally just said, this is where I need you to land for a minute. It's long. It's a long passage. I'm going to read parts fast, so just stick with me. It'll be on the screens. The places that I really need to dig in, though, I'm going to dig in there for a minute. So 2 Kings 8 through 23. Now, we've got two sides, the Arameans and the Israelites, okay? So we've got the king of Aram. He was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place, you know, whatever, in such and such a place. I don't know why they weren't more specific, but the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Now, the man of God is Elisha, and you'll see that in just a sec. Time and time again, Elisha warned, we're moving ahead. Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, said one of the officers, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. King of Aram says, go, find out where he is so I can send men and capture him. Well, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force, and they went by what? Night, and surrounded the city. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? He asked. Don't be afraid, Elisha answered. Those who are with us are more, catch that word, more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, now strike him, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me. Now he's talking to the Arameans here, okay? Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. And they entered the city. Elisha said, Lord, now open their eyes. Open the eyes of these men so that they can see. And then the Lord opened their eyes. And they looked and they were inside Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those who have captured you with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. Do you see the love act there? So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands of Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. So when we see with our natural eyes, we see danger immediately. But the greater plan is to see with our spiritual eyes, to see the more, to see what God has. Because see, the opening of our eyes is the silencing of fear. And when we say, you know what, I'm not going to close my eyes anymore. Actually, enemy, you don't get to blind me, not one more day. I'm going to stand with my eyes open, ready to see everything that God has. Because isn't it true? Did you see that army, the enemy, came at night? I don't know if they were too chicken to come in the day or if they just thought that was more of a stealth move, but that is the ploy of the enemy, isn't it? To come in at night. Because aren't we most afraid in the darkness? Right? That's when, like, you know, scary movies are made and all that kind of mess. They're made in the dark. That's the most frightening. The enemy would love nothing more than to confuse us and then to get us stuck in this place that we can see nothing more than what he's surrounded. He would love for our little world to look about this big. But what God knows is that he's got a purpose and a plan on every single one of us. No matter if you feel it right now in this moment, it's there. It rests on you. Your life is defined by it. Now, the enemy would love to snuff that out, but he knows. See, sometimes he sees more in us than we see in ourselves. And so when you're there and you're saying, oh, I'm just resting in fear, I'm resting in anxiety, I'm resting in depression, I'm resting in sin or addiction or affliction or whatever word you want to put there, because we've all got something, whatever word, you say, oh, I can't see past the enemy because he's closing in. He's putting me, he's locking me tight. The enemy knows what he's doing. He's smart. He's real. He's alive. It's sitting to scare you, but it's to make us aware that he exists. Satan exists. And he would love to take every good thing that God's given you and just lock it away. See, nobody cages a lion because it's nice, right? You cage a lion because it's dangerous. Well, that's the same with you. You're dangerous to the kingdom of God, to the enemy. He's like, let me just put you in a little cage. I'm going to lock that thing up, and I'm just going to walk away. And you're blinded. You're blinded by your fear. You're blinded by anxiety. You're blinded by all the things that have surrounded you. I mean, we see our fear, but do we see God? We see our lack, but do we see God? We see our sin, do we see God? We see the enemy at work, do we see God? But didn't he defeat death, hell, and the grave? Yeah. John 10:10 would love to tell us, and it does tell us, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is the agenda of the enemy on our lives. But God has come to give us life in abundance. The but God is where we have to cling, because the enemy's real. You know, Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord. Now, his eyes were open the whole time. The king's eyes were open. He knew that the army was standing there ready to defeat Israel. Elisha prayed, no, open his real eyes. Open the eyes that you've given him, God. Let him really see. See, that song that we sing up here, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I know it can sound repetitive. I know it can sound like, what's the purpose of the song? I don't actually get it. Oh yeah, it's because it may look like I'm surrounded. But oh God, there are chariots of fire actually surrounding me. That's who my God is. That's who my God is. He's surrounding me. So nothing that the enemy could throw at me, nothing that he would want for me to see or do or hear or feel is going to be big enough or is going to be greater than my God. The chariots of fire wait for me. See, here's the thing. When Elisha prayed, that's not when God's army showed up. They were actually there the whole time. It just took it took the king opening his eyes to actually see it. That's something we have to be reminded of. It's an activation of who we are in Christ. The obedience, when we pray those things and we say, God, I know you're good and I know you're there and I want to see more of you. All that is God saying, here I am. I was here the whole time. I'm always fighting for you. I'm always aware of your needs. I've always got your back. So the enemy was brought into the camp, into the town, blinded. Open their eyes, Lord. Let them see. They were now surrounded by the very army that they came to annihilate, by the very people that they came to kill. This would have been easy for the Israelites. Oh, take you out. You're blinded and you're surrounded. Easy. Do we kill them? No. Actually, we feed them. We prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. We show them love. We send them home in peace. It stops. See, while the assignment of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy, the assignment on evil that day was to love. And the greatest victory we can ever have over an enemy is to turn him into a friend. Now, I'm not saying we make fear a friend, but what we can say in that moment is, fear, I'm going to turn you to faith. Pain, I'm going to turn you to joy. Hate, I'm going to turn you to love. I'm going to show you who my God is. When we go through things in this life, it activates this place in us that it also allows us to help other people. It says, I stood in your shoes, not in comparison, not like I got a one-up on you, but I can lock arms with you. Our faith is stronger together, and we can stand in it, in unity, connected, shields up. There was a story probably about 8 years ago. If you were in the housing market, you remember about 10 years ago when the economy fell hardcore. Well, my husband's a contractor, and we didn't see it coming. So everything that we had sort of lived, we were kind of this. We were, 2 years trying to work it all out. It was like starting over. It was a hard season for us and for our children. But what we didn't tell was that for our children or for anyone else's sake, really, that it was as bad as it was. Our children never really knew, and our friends and family never really knew how tough it was. And I remember going to the pantry one day and saying, okay, there's peanut butter, there's crackers, there's a can of beans, and there was some other random thing, probably noodles or something, I don't know. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to make out of this. But I have no money to go to the store. I spent it all on a gallon of milk, and I didn't know what I was going to do. My husband was at work. Two of my kids were at school. Two were at home napping. And in that moment, certainly out of desperation, I fell to my knees on my kitchen floor and laid my hands on my pantry. And I prayed for a solid 30 minutes, God, fill up my storehouse. Because it's not by my might, we're doing everything we can do. I don't know what else to do but call on your name. I need you to fill up my storehouse. We need you, God, in a big way. And I wept on that floor, and I did not move my hands from the pantry. I was determined. And I got up, and I thought, okay, well, now what can I do practically? Because that's kind of how my brain thinks. And I just sat on my kitchen floor, though. I couldn't actually even move. I just kind of cried out to God. And then in 30 minutes, the doorbell rang. Lining my porch, lining my entire walkway, were bags and bags and bags of groceries. What I saw in that moment was how good God was, how faithful He is in our time of need. But even more so, that He had already gone before me. Those groceries didn't all just get handled in 30 minutes. That had already been done. That was already being taken care of. I just had to be active in it. See, when I want to see with God's eyes, I can't be passive in my pursuit. I can't sit and just say, I'm sure He's going to fix it for me. We'll just scoop out some peanut butter tonight. To fight our battles, we have to pray with active anticipation. I have to believe with everything in the core of who I am that God is that good. And I know it's bags of groceries, but you have no idea. You have no idea what that meant to my family, what that meant to my walk, what that did to my relationship with the Lord. Saying, God, you see me. You see me. You hear me. I mean, Jesus died so that we could be seen, right? He tore the veil so that we could be seen. He sees us. He's acquainted with everything that we need, everything that we are. No matter the circumstance, no matter how hard it gets, that's just how good God is. He is faithful. Those songs that we sang about this morning, He is faithful. Prayer changes our environment. Now, as we have looked at how prayer changes things. It certainly changed for Elisha to open his eyes, to really see, to see with God eyes. I want to hit on worship. I want to talk about, when you worship, when you stand here, now there are so many ways that you can worship. You can hold your hands up. You can be on your knees. You can just be living life and walking around and worshiping. I mean, worship is our expression to the Lord that He is good. It's a choice that we make to assign worth to the greatness of God, proclaiming His goodness, His greatness through our words and actions. It is a strategic offensive tactic against the enemy every time. Worship can look like so many things, though. Our heart postured toward God is our worship. So when you're in here before, you know, at the pre-service, or it's not pre-service, what is it? Before the speaker comes up, whatever. During worship, when you're in here during worship. That was really hard, right? That was really tough to say. When you're in here during, I mean, can you feel, though? Can you feel the presence? You want to push in. You want to move forward. You want to do something. There's like a tugging at your heart that says, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. But there's a posturing that makes you feel a certain way. It says, God, I see you. I know you see me, and I'm recognizing all of that right now. So as we look at worship, there is this fascinating story to me. I really do like this story, and Gabby kind of referenced it when she was speaking during This Is How I Fight My Battles. And it's in 2 Chronicles 20. It's Jehoshaphat, but the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming to, literally, and Jehoshaphat knows it. They're coming to take over his territory. They are coming to do some damage. And he knows they're coming. So I'm kind of jumping around in this 2 Chronicles 20, but just stay with me. Again, it's a little bit long. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and said a beautiful word, ending with, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel. I don't know how to say that. But anyway, he was a Levite. So skipping ahead, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's." See, there's that "but God's" again, right? "You will have to fight. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm, and what? See the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, right here, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out to the head of the army. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever," they sang. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Amnon and Moab. And it goes on to say that they began to annihilate one another. The sound of worship, the sound of pressing back the enemy, the sound of those men marching out in triumph, in worship, literally confused the darkness. They didn't even know who they were killing anymore. They started killing each other. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of the Lord came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. He didn't have to do anything but sing. I mean, don't you know, like, this is a paraphrase of what God must have said to Jehoshaphat, but look, don't worry. I got this. You go ahead and actually send out your musicians, because you're actually not going to need your valiant super soldiers for this one, Jehoshaphat. Weapons aren't going to win this battle. Worship will. Can you hear the sound as Judah sang? The sound of the kingdom going out and literally confusing the enemy so desperately that they killed each other, wiped each other clean, and peace was on every side. So often, we feel that pressure coming against us. It can almost paralyze us, almost like a spiritual claustrophobia, like, it's suffocating me. I've lost my lifeline. So often, we let worry, we let fear, we let our anxiety, we let our depression, we let our stress, we let whatever the thing is that stands against you, we let it come against us hard and fast. But to fight our battles, we must turn our worry into worship. We have to say, God, I'm going to sing even when I don't know what to sing. I'm going to praise, I'm going to worship, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it all until I don't have another breath in me. Because what I know is that that's what pushes back the enemy. That is how I fight my battles. We can worship our way into victory. God is never leaving you alone. He is never abandoning you to self-reliance, self-defense. That's not who he is. He always stands with you. But it is our choice to move in the places that he expects us to move. I want to share another story. Some of you may know the first part of this. 10 years ago, my second son is 16 now. 10 years ago, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. We battled with that for a while, Chapel Hill, some different things. Third Sunday being here, we came up for prayer. I knew in my walk, this is not my faith, this is God. I knew in my walk that our battle had been won that day. I knew it. I knew he was healed before the first word ever was uttered out of our prayer warrior's mouth that morning. So healing came. We were like, yay, God, you're so awesome. And we were just resting in that place of victory. He's heavily into sports, football, basketball. He's a great athlete. A little less than 2 years ago, he was having trouble with his knees and his legs, and so I took him to the doctor and had some x-rays done. And they were like, ooh, yeah, there's some things there that look concerning. We're going to need to get some MRIs done. I said, concerning like what? I don't understand what you're saying to me. He's like, well, we're going to have to test him for cancer again and see if that's something that he's got going on. Everything in me that day washed dark. Everything. I was sitting there. We didn't think it a big deal, so my husband didn't go with me. It was just me and Levi, and we were just sitting there. And I couldn't let that look wash over me to my son, so I had to be like, okay. But on the inside, I felt done. I don't even know. Like, almost like could have gone angry if I allowed myself, but I know that's not the heart that God has for me, and that's not the one I could have back to him. So I sat there numb, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So I told our staff, I was like, I just need prayer. I don't know what to do. Again, I'm not a real, like, I don't tell a lot of people. And so I just shared with them, basically, some of our family. And one of my coworkers and my friends, Natalie, sent me this song. It had just been released by Elevation. We've done it here plenty of times in the past. Said, do it again. Some of the words are, I've seen you move, come move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. That song must have played 30 solid times. I told Levi, just dropped him off at school. I told him, you're going to have a great day, buddy. Love you. And I went home and I sat on my floor on my knees, weeping and drawing and singing. That's all I could do. I had no words to pray. You know, that first thing I talked about battling, I couldn't do it that day. I didn't have it in me. I sang that song over and over and over until I couldn't sing it anymore. I thought, I don't even know. I don't know. But I believe that you're going to do it again. That's what my heart can say. So we did all the MRIs. He had another little something going on that's easily, it was easily workable, but no cancer. So I believe that in that moment, in all those moments of our cries, the cries of our hearts, the moments when we have no more words, we have nothing left to say, but we're on our knees and we're like, I believe you're going to do it again, God. I don't know. I've got nothing to offer but my heart. But I know, and I believe in your love. And I believe it's so good. It's so real. And while I may not have all the answers, I know and I stand on the fact that you do move mountains. And I believe that you will do it again and again and again and again. In every person's life that sits here, pressing through everything, prayer and worship, when you have nothing left in you, just posture yourself to him. He knows. He sees. He hears. And no matter in our darkest moment ever, he is always there for you, even if you can't believe it in that moment. He has never left you nor forsaken you. Love. Power in his love. And that's where we're going to end today, because we can't fight our battles by our own accord. We have to recognize the very love of Christ poured out on us that gives us the power to be able to usher that back. Ephesians 3:16-21, Paul writes, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. See, my words aren't even big enough for God, because it's immeasurably more than all that I could ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Rooted and established in his love, to the fullness of God. That's how we fight our battles. Knowing who he is, then knowing who we are, to say, God, all of you lives inside all of me, so I'm going to pour all of that out. And you, God, oh, you say right here that you're going to do immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. We fight our battles through his word, opening our eyes in worship and prayer and trusting the love of Christ. You know, there's someone probably sitting right next to you who is facing a giant that you quite possibly were just mocked by and overcame. Shield up, faith connected, love surrounded, understanding that God is right here in the midst. Knowing who He is, knowing His love. See, God didn't come to earth in the form of a bang. He came to earth on the backside of a town as a baby. He put His power in His love. And then He hung on a cross with arms outstretched, the very arms that could have ripped open the universe, that could have called out a legion of angels. But He hung there and died in our place. Yeah, He said, I put all the power in My love so that you could know I actually sent My one and only Son. That's who God is. So that we could have freedom. So that we could have life. So that we could know that the agenda of the enemy may be to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to give us life in abundance. His love overwhelms, fills us up every place, every empty place that you may feel today. His love washes in like a flood, wanting to fill all of that up so that you can say, I can fight my battles in You, God. Because of You, I can fight my battles. He wants us to see with His eyes. Eyes that can see the chariots of fire surrounding any enemy that would come against. You're His. He loves you. And if there's anyone in here today that does not know Jesus, that does not have had that experience of 1 John 4, that perfect love casts out fear. But God, I want nothing. I want no more of that. I don't want to be bombarded by the enemy not one more day. I will not listen to his lies or his tactics. I'm not going to be overcome or paralyzed by fear or anxiety or shame. Not one more day. I see who you are, God, and I want more of you. I want all of you to live in me so that I have the power in your love to fight my battles. So today, if you do not know him, or if you need to reconnect and say, you know what, I have really just laid down my walk for a minute. I'm going to pick that thing back up because I do want to fight my battles. I am equipped. He has given me more than enough to fight. I'm just going to say a simple prayer with you. Just know that God loves you so much. He sees you, but he doesn't see you with eyes of disappointment or with shame or with guilt. He sees you with eyes of love, made way by Jesus' death on a cross for our freedom. We can live with him forever. So everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you feel like this is something you need for your heart and your life today, then just quietly pray this with me. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. I know that I am a sinner, saved by your grace. I choose to follow you today in all the days of my life. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.